you've got this, you know, high altitude surveillance balloon. It's over the U.S. There's been reports that it might have gone over Canada to get where it's at. It's crossing over very, very sensitive sites for U.S. It's got their Minuteman nukes is where it's crossed over. It's at an altitude where, you know, the military's not quite sure if they're able to shoot it down. And there's so many implications of it. It's why right now Canada has summoned the Chinese ambassador over this incident. And, you know, I'm out of my league with this one, which is why I always love being able to fall back and rely on experts in this type of field. I have one of the best right now joining me, an associate professor at Carleton University in Ottawa with research focusing on national and international security and technology, Stephanie Carvin, joining me. Stephanie, this is a wild one.
Yeah, it's, you know, we could chat about this all day, and I think we were emailing all last night about how bizarre this whole story is.
It kept evolving, right? I mean, it's like you think, okay, it's just a balloon, it'll be dealt with quickly, but then we realize it seemingly can't be dealt with, and we're going to be stuck with it for, you know, another 3 to 4 days.
At least, right? So it's, yeah, I mean, you want to be careful, and like there are lots of people saying, why don't you just shoot it down? You know, it's my understanding that this thing's the size of 3 school buses. Like, it's large. And in fact, it's too large. You know, I think the Chinese have now come out and said, yes, it's ours, and yes, it's a weather balloon. It's way too large to be a weather balloon, right? So you know, you can't just shoot it down. If anyone's ever, like, you know, deflated a balloon in their house, they know how that goes. The balloon goes all over the place, right? So you can't really predict where it's going to land. And with that much fabric and that much material, if it landed on a U.S. town, it could be potentially catastrophic.
Yeah, and we don't know what's in it, what materials it's made up of. I mean, it's self-propelling and self-guiding, right?
Yeah, it looks like, from the pictures, it looks like, again, it's this kind of, well, obviously it's a balloon, but obviously that there's also some kind of solar panels attached to it so that it can probably energize itself and keep going. But we don't know what else it has on it. And, you know, satellites usually have some kind of radioactive material in them. I don't know if that's the case with balloons, but, you know, I mean, there's going to be a whole bunch of chemicals and materials and things. You don't want that, you know, coming down in some poor U.S. town in Montana.
No, absolutely not. And I hear a lot of people going like, oh, what's the concern? There's, you know, Montana's a lot of green space. Well, except for where it's not green space.
Exactly. Except for where it's not. That's exactly right.
So let's shift gears, though, into, you know, the actual national security concerns of this. We don't know what it is. We know where it's from, presumably, the country it originated from. We know that there's conversations ongoing. But this highlights, you know, we're at a pretty tense time right now internationally.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's right before a visit by U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, which I believe has now been called off. So it does seem that Canadian and American officials are taking this, like, pretty seriously. And, like, to call off a diplomatic visit is not something you do lightly, right? And the fact that, you know, we in Canada have called the ambassador on the carpet, as it were, that's a pretty dramatic move as well, and asking Beijing to answer for what it's done. And honestly, it's like this, I'm not entirely sure what the national security implications here are. I mean, by all accounts, this does seem to have been an accident, right? We do know that there's a lot of these balloons, and America uses balloons too, usually over the Pacific Ocean. And I mean, I'm assuming they're doing all kind of monitoring and checking and all that kind of stuff. In this particular case, it seems odd to just send it right over continental North America. The only thing that gives me pause is that there's not one balloon, there's two, potentially two. Because according to the Canadians last night, we found out, well, actually there might be a second incident that we need to think about. Although I don't know if we've had clarification on what that second one is. But I mean, like, if you look at a balloon like this, what can it do? I mean, what can it do that a satellite or cyber espionage couldn't accomplish? And the answer is very little. If you wanted to, like, get electronic intelligence or intelligence available on the global, what they call the global information infrastructure, right? Or, like, electronic intelligence, you can do that using, like, just kind of normal everyday cyber tools. or if you wanted to get, you know, pictures of a nuclear facility, for example, you'd be better off probably getting them from a satellite. So I don't know. I guess the thing I keep thinking of is like, why? Why did they? You know, what is this thing actually for? It doesn't see. It's kind of like an. If it is a spying device, at least for the purposes of collecting data over North America, it seems to be fairly overly elaborate.
Yeah, and we know that, I mean, some people have been asking, like, how do we know it's a Chinese balloon? And we know that because the Chinese Foreign Ministry admitted to it. They said that the Chinese side regrets the unintended entry of the airship into U.S. airspace due to force majeure. Those who don't know international law, I mean, can you explain what force majeure is in terms of, you know?
I think it's just like it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of out of control, right?
Yeah.
Like stuff happens. And like it was out of our control. Like, you know, sometimes we use the term act as God, right? So it's like I believe it's something like that. Like, you know, the idea that there was a freak weather incident and it sent the balloon off the course in this particular case or something like that.
So how does a situation like this then affect our ongoing diplomacy with China? Again, you know, let's bring it to that bigger picture of we're at a very complicated international state right now with war in Ukraine, with increased Russian presence, you know, moving throughout down into Africa, and with, you know, the U.S. looking at China and China looking at the U.S. and Canada involved in our own hijinks as well in the middle. I mean, how does this kind of a situation affect our global diplomacy?
The fact that this meeting between U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and his counterpart in China was called off, I think, is indicative of just how bad things are right now. There was a very promising meeting, I would say, maybe not very promising, moderately promising meeting between President Joe Biden and President Xi Jinping in the G20 summit, you know, a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, I should say. And, you know, they seem to actually have a pretty good conversation, and things are bad, but, you know, it's important for even, you know, countries where you have pretty bad relations, it's important to find things you can agree on, right? Like, maybe you don't like your neighbors, but it's important that you can agree on things like about, you know, sharing a driveway or, you know, managing a tree or something like that. And same with international affairs. It's like, okay, you know, obviously things are really tense over things like Taiwan, the U.S. setting up bases in the Philippines and potentially Australia. And all of this is going on, but, you know, you still want to, like, you know, there's still climate change, there's still Russia, there's still a whole bunch of things. So I think the fact that the actual meeting between Blinken and his official was called off over this is just a sign of really how bad things actually are. And it's kind of unfortunate, but, you know, diplomacy is language, right? It's symbols, it's symbolic, and if you want to convey frustration, that's the way you do it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all those little tiny steps up and down on that ladder of diplomacy. And then, you know, as you get down on the ladder of diplomacy, it leads towards the other side of things, more so war. I guess I wonder.
What do they say? It's better to, you know, what was it in the Kennedy administration? I think they used to say it's better to talk. It's better to jaw than war, right?
Yes.
So it's better to keep talking than to fight. And I think that's right. And, you know, I'm very skeptical of China. I think that, you know, we have to be careful with regards to foreign interference here in Canada, with regards to espionage, with regards to, you know, some of its practices in the South China Sea and its attitude towards Taiwan. None of that's good. But at the same time, like, I'm all for diplomacy. Because if you can't talk, if you can't express your views, then that's a very bad thing. We need to keep those conversations going, even while being very skeptical.
I agree with you 100%. My last question before I let you go on this one, so you can enjoy the rest of your Friday and get into the weekend. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Like, what's the most comparable thing that you've seen in your career of, you know, studying national security and international security?
It's funny, with regards to, like, a balloon, the balloon kind of adds, like, a level of absurdity to it. I guess I keep thinking back to 2000, when there was a U.S. spy plane that had an incident over Henan in China, right? That there was a plane and it was, you know, intercepted by a Chinese plane, because that's how these things work, right? You fly close to a country, the other country intercepts you and escorts you out. And the by all accounts, the Chinese plane flew a little too close. The spy plane collided with the American plane, and both planes crashed. The American plane was able to land in China, and the U.S. plane, the Chinese plane, the pilot died. And there was huge uproar, parades. People were angry in China for days. It was a real kind of outlet of national sentiment. And eventually, the U.S. pilots and the plane were allowed to go, but probably not after the Chinese took a pretty good look at what that plane looked like. So I think, you know, that was probably a much more serious incident back in 2000. But it was, you know, I guess it's the first thing I was thinking of. But, you know, we got through that and we'll probably get through this.
See, I was thinking back to 2009 with Balloon Boy, but that was just a hoax.
Oh.
Gonna leave it on a light note since we're talking about helium. Hey, Stephanie, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Informative and just fun conversations always.
Oh, thank you so much. I wouldn't want to deflate the conversation any further.
Gosh.
So thank you.
Okay, I'm not even gonna try. I'll just let the
end it there.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, Stephanie.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Stephanie Carvin, associate professor at Carleton University over in Ottawa. Her research focuses on national and international security and technology. Canada summoned the Chinese ambassador over this high-altitude surveillance balloon. We will keep an eye on this one as it continues to float over the continental U.S. for at least the next 4 days. And who knows how much longer. It's a wild story.